B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11:20. Live from Prebo Hoagie's Woolwich. Come on by, make sure. And I want you to, we got some Creo gift cards. You can spin the wheel and hang out. But everybody sit tight because I want to talk a little birds. And we're going to do so with Jeff McClain, our man from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, who does a great job with this team. All right, Jeff, injuries, my brother. What do we got? Let's go through it. Alshon, Lane, what are you hearing?
Yeah, you know, Alshon's pretty much done for the season. They're just trying to figure out exactly what his injury is.
Is it Achilles?
I don't know for certain yet. I believe it could be.
Typically
with an Achilles, you know right away. So that's why I'm thinking maybe it's something like a Lisfranc. We've seen before right. The Eagles have done additional tests on that injury because it's a little more complicated. Nevertheless, Alshon won't see him anymore this year, that is.
He should never be back. I mean, seriously, he's got, of all people who needs to go, it's that guy. I mean, if Monday night wasn't case in point.
Yeah, as we said before, you know, that contract is now guaranteed for 2020. I have to read the fine print to understand if if it's all guaranteed for injury only, and whether the Eagles can kind of save a little money if they were to release him. Alshon, I will say this, you know, the Eagles only had three wide receivers, so Alshon was running every route. He's done that before, but there was one play he ran a fly route, and, you know, I think Carson got hit and the ball floated out of bounds, and he raised his hand to tap out of the, you know, for the next play and looked at a sideline and couldn't leave because they had a next play with 11 personnel, which meant that he had to stay in. So, you know, I'm not saying he injured himself because of the decision about having only three wide receivers, but again, probably not the best one considering that he'd also had other, bumps and bruises that he was playing through. Now, to get to Lane, he has a high ankle sprain. That's usually a 3 or 4 week injury, especially for guys who play skill positions that have to run around a lot. But he's pretty much ruled out for Sunday. And then if there's a showdown against the Cowboys the following week, we saw Lane do the same thing last year, sit out one game with the high ankle and come back the following week. So shoot it up, get out there and play. Lane's about as tough as they come on this roster. So
that
I would
was scary because he was flopping around, man. I thought it was a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen that. I mean, you've played sports. You've had injuries where, like, I mean, the pain is excruciating at the time.
I tore my Achilles, so I popped it.
Yeah. Being one thing. But, like, you know, an injury is like a sprained ankle where it hurts immensely, and then maybe 5 or 10 minutes later, not as bad. I think the concern there
that initial thought, that you're right, that initial fear, like, oh my God, what did I just do, is there too.
Yep. So Jalen Mills has an elbow injury. Sounds like he's going to play. It's not good, but he's going to play through it. Jordan Howard, still a great, you know, not a great mystery. He's got the nerve thing in his shoulder, and that's just keeping him from participating at a point where he can take on contact. And we'll see whether there's an update today as to whether he's available for the following week.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about off that game.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one.
I don't understand a lot of what they do. I mean, I tell you about a crisis of confidence in both the coach and GM. I just don't understand how in the world you go into it with three receivers. So, like, you're counting on Nelson Agholor? Like, I get you thought Perkins is your emergency guy, but that's not enough. I mean, that's just not good.
No, it starts, number one, with the GM, because on Tuesday they released Matt Collins. And now, look, everybody understood why they did that. He wasn't performing at a high level. But don't you think you would have waited to see if Nelson could have played the following week, especially the following game, especially if you were not considering signing a wide receiver off the practice squad?
He did the same thing with Scandrick when their cornerbacks were decimated. Like, I'm not telling you Scandrick was anything special, but why don't you wait a little bit?
Yeah, typically they do that, and I think it was a rash decision, and that's Howie's decision. Howie makes all the roster decisions, so it falls on him. And then the week goes along, and as you get closer to the game, you know, I understand that they thought maybe that Nelson was going to play, but we've seen this before. You get out there in game time, especially a rainy kind of cold game night. I wouldn't say cold, but a rainy night.
Right.
You know, the bones don't feel as good. And I'm sure that's probably, you know, how Nelson felt when he went out there. And I don't understand why you don't just cover yourself there. And of course, Alshon gets hurt early and they had an assortment of other injuries. And then late in that final drive in overtime, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside had to tap out.
Yeah.
With an injury, and you're down to just Greg Ward. Somehow, though, they managed to get it done. But if they had lost, wow, man.
That's just an indictment. I mean, it's bad enough that they were taken to the brink by Eli Manning, who clearly, and you could see it, he was diving to the ground like a fighter who was paid off by the mob. I mean, the nearest Eagle to him, like on that flea flicker play, you know, he's got Golden Tate wide open down the field if he actually just stands tall and takes a hit.
That was a touchdown, and the Eagles blew their coverage there. They were in their sixth coverage, Jim Schwartz's picket fence defense on third and long. And I think it was Omar Epps jumped the route, as did other guys, or at least, you know, thinking that was going to run play. And if Josh Sweat, you give credit to Josh Sweat, you know, he got into the backfield. You are right that, a lot of other quarterbacks, they just stood still or slid a little bit the other direction. They may have been able to unload that pass, but certainly Eli Manning at this point in his career isn't going to kill you for a full 60 minutes, and that's what happened on Sunday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Nah, I mean, it was amazing because he didn't want to play. I mean, it was unbelievable. Two busted coverages caught with got Slayton the touchdowns, but I don't know why you didn't pressure him the entire first half. Eli was waiting to take dives.
I was surprised because, again, Jim was playing his defense. He had the cornerbacks out on islands and, you know, was pressuring, sending blitzers and relying on his pass rush, and they didn't get home against has been all season a very suspect offensive line. Now, to their credit, they made the appropriate adjustments at the half, although I would have said, why weren't they going with cover two?
Yes!
Eli's always had problems against cover two. This has been a running theme over the course of his career, and, you know, that's, I just understood, and we've seen this multiple times over the season. Now there have been times, you know, certainly during that stretch, that month when the defense was playing well, Jim was sticking to his bread and butter and it was working. But all of a sudden, it just hasn't. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the fact, the cornerback play. You just don't have guys that I think over a full 60 minutes you can leave out there on Ireland.
Yeah, against Manning, though. I mean, that's where you got to be different. You got to play press man because you're going to get rid of the ball and you got to attack him. I mean, I think the game plan is pretty obvious. That's why I was disappointed at Schwartz's game plan, and we're talking to Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline, Inquirer.com, a fabulous Eagles beat writer. And the other thing, too, is why did Doug wait 13 weeks to put Boston Scott in the offense?
That's a good question. Now, Boston was a guy that the Eagles plucked off the practice squad from the Saints last year. That was a Joe Douglas move. And credit to them for getting him on the team and for keeping him. But, yeah, I mean, I think a little bit's been too much has been made of, you know, Greg Ward perhaps a nice little player, and probably should have been playing more than he had been playing. And the same, I think, applies to Boston Scott. Like, he's not going to end up being Darren Sproles. But that being said, he clearly has a burst that the Eagles have been lacking. And I can't imagine why, you know, you would think, oh, Jay Ajayi is going to be the solution, a guy who's got a bad knee, and we've seen it since he's been back.
Who
when you have a guy
hand
on the roster already that can be that compliment when Jordan Howard is out.
Dude, I got to tell you, it annoys me. I'm not telling you that Boston Scott is Darren Sproles or going to be any other great Walter Payton. But the point is that after the Minnesota game, he had a couple touches at the end of the game, and I told Andrew, our producer, I go, dude, I want to see mix him in a little bit in that role of Sproles. Like, why does he like, – you wait until now to do that? Like, that's crazy. I question what they see, what they look at when it comes to players and personnel.
Yeah. Now, they did give him some – you know, they put him in a returner role, and he did have some touches in the Bills game. He scored a touchdown. And then, of course, there were a couple botched returns, and maybe that scared him a little bit in terms of giving him more playing time. But I kind of said this for a while. You know, I thought he was more of just an offensive guy than a special teams guy.
Yes.
And again, that's where I think you have to question what they're looking at. But also, you have to understand what's going on with the roster. They're playing draft picks ahead of undrafted guys, and in a lot of circumstances, and I don't know if that necessarily applies here at the running back position, but it does at other positions. Matt Collins being the prime example of that. So it's a kind of a front office coaching thing, and you know, I think what we've seen this year. Now Doug says there isn't a disconnect, but I think there's been a little bit too much of that, playing guys ahead of other guys just because they've been drafted or because they spent such and such money on that player.
Yeah, I think that's an issue. Hey, was Doug going to go for two at first there? Because they showed him on the screen that he held up two fingers to go for two.
I think he was, and then he explained it on Tuesday, but then he decided against it. Because we've seen previously in those circumstances, down two touchdowns, he'd go for two in that situation.
Yeah, which would have been a mistake, by the way, against the Giants.
Yeah, so maybe someone was in his ear and said, no.
So, all right, the good. Let's talk about the good. The good is Carson. And Carson but the more important half.
And, yes, absolutely.
You know, and he brings you back two touchdown drives. The drive in overtime would have had another one if not for the missed field goal. I mean, and he was throwing dimes, and he's throwing dimes to Manny Moe and Scott. What's your takeaway with Carson, and is that a Carson we can expect going forward?
That's a good question. I mean, the first half he wasn't good, and a little bit of the first part of the third quarter. I think what was most impressive to me about Carson was when he, and this has to do with Doug and Groh. Get out of the way. I just feel like Carson, when you go tempo, I know there's a, you know, you need to have success to kind of go tempo.
Yeah.
But give him more play, give him more ability to kind of just be Carson and play in a freewheeling style. Look, you can't always do that. You have to throw from the pocket. There's a bunch of times that that's required, and Carson certainly can do that and did that against the Giants. But, you know, for Carson to come up huge down the stretch there, it was a dramatic win. He hasn't really had dramatic wins like that. And that has to be a part of every elite quarterback game. And I think Carson, in some ways, it's been circumstances that have prevented him from doing that. But the record wasn't positive. He was 2 out of 15 in terms of, you know, late game situations, had an opportunity to either lead the Eagles to a game winning or game time drive and came up short in 13 of those circumstances, 13 of those tries. But to me, you know, and I wrote this yesterday. Look, is this team good enough to, even if they make the playoffs, to make a run? I mean, anything's possible, but most likely no. There's so many roster holes. They have to do some overhauling this offseason. What's important now is Carson has to finish on an upswing, and we have to see whether Doug can get this right, because you can't have another offseason where it's like Carson's regressed or what, you know, an uncertain future about Carson. Can Carson? Doug get it done with Carson. Look, again, I think Carson has had a nice season. I think the critics have gone way over the top. He's had a few bad games. Is he playing as well as he should play, considering the contract, everything that we know about his abilities? No. But that being said, get him to a point where, and certainly if you make the playoffs, that allows him to play in that situation. Because, again, if when he takes a snap on Sunday, this is the first time he's played this late in December in 3 years. 3 years. So all this is positive. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, he's got Manny Mo and Jack at wide receiver.
It's almost better for him. And it's almost better that that Jeffrey's nowhere to be found. And you know how I feel about Aguilar. So, I think it's almost better in a way where they're, like, these are his guys.
Well, I mean, you know.
I don't know.
He got better. Better after Alshon left. Now look, Alshon's a good. He's their best receiver. You look what he did against the Dolphins.
God! Against that secondary, I can't laud him against that secondary.
No, I get that, but there's no one else in the roster who can do that at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, he's still a middle two. When around the league, he would be considered a middle of the road two.
I get that. I mean, he's not lived up to the contract. He's not. And I don't think you want to pay him that going forward, and all the other issues with Carson and him, we don't really know exactly some of them.
Right.
I've reported there's been some suspicious things that are going on, and we know about the anonymous quotes, et cetera.
Good word.
But just what's going on the field, there's never been chemistry between these two guys. And yeah. A lot of times, what happens off the field transfers to what happens on the field. And Carson, I think, has gone way out of his comfort zone to appease Alshon and the receivers, and there's just a disconnect. And some of it falls on Carson. He doesn't throw that 50-50 ball very well. But that also goes back to the front office. Why are you acquiring people that can't get separation on their own, e.g.
Build a team around the quarterback and build an offense around the quarterback. You know, it's my two biggest beef with the coach and the general manager. They didn't understand who the quarterback is. I question whether or not they understand players, what fits, what kind of offense.
That is fair. And that's, look, they felt like DeSean Jackson was going to solve that problem. And yes, in theory, and we saw in one game he did, but they didn't have it's hard to have a backup plan for DeSean Jackson, but
I know.
You had to take into account that this was a 32-year-old guy that had been injury prone over the last 5 or 6 years of his career. And considering the way he plays the game, if he gets some sort of muscle injury, it was going to hurt him. So yes, that definitely falls on the GM and then, of course, the coaching staff and how they utilize those players.
Yeah. Listen, Jeff, it's going to be interesting because at least on the bright side, you got drama. And it's all going to come down to a week from Sunday at home against the Cowboys. And, far be it from me. Like, I'm happy. At least you got some drama. It's something you want to at least have a game that matters.
Absolutely. Look, and again, as I mentioned, I think more than anything, the most important thing is having Carson play under these types of pressure situations late in the season where the playoffs are on the line.
Yeah.
If you make the playoffs, he hasn't played in the playoffs yet. Despite all the success the Eagles have had the previous 2 years, Carson has yet to play in a playoff game. You want him to feel that environment. You want him to feel what it's like to play in the postseason. And, because again, this is going, anybody is expendable this offseason. Carson Wentz is not. He's back here for several more years and likely beyond that. Get him some experience in these situations and in the playoffs if you can.
I'm with you. Jeff, great stuff, brother. Always
All
fun
right.
talking to you, man. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, Angel.
Here he is, Jeff McClain, inquire.com. Always a good conversation with Jeff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.